بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم وصلی اللہ علی النبی الکریم رب اشرح لی صدری ویسر لی امری واحلل عقدۃ من لسانی یفقہوا قولی. Yesterday I was asked to address a meeting at Sai International Center of New Delhi. In this talk, I referred a saying of a general. This military general says about the art of war. What is the art of war? What is the secret of successful war? So he says that the most effective, it is his wording, the most effective armed forces are those who fight without anger or hate. I said that, referring this saying of a general, I said that this is not simply the art of war, but it is the art of life. This is the only formula of successful life in this earth. Then it is not a formula of a military general, it is formula of nature. It is formula of nature. And as Islam is a religion of nature, as Islam is a religion of nature, so this formula is also an Islamic formula. I said that according to the creation plan of God, present world is a world of test. Everyone in this world is put on test. Due to this test, God has given freedom, total freedom to everyone. So this freedom creates problem, because mostly people misuse their freedom, so they create problem. Now what to do in such a world? Due to this freedom, or due to this misuse of freedom, every time there are problems in our society, in our family, in our country, everywhere in the world. So every time there are provocation, every time there are sad experiences, you cannot escape with these negative experiences. So what to do? Once a man came to the Prophet of Islam, he said, O Prophet, give me a master advice by which I may be able to address آئی ایم ایبل ٹو مینج آل دا افیئرس آف مائی لائف. پروفیٹ سیڈ لا تغضب, ڈونٹ بی اینگری. ناؤ یو نو دیٹ اینگر از ناٹ اے نارمل فینومنا. اینگر از آؤٹ کم آف اب نارمل سچویشن. واٹ از اینگر؟ وین یو فیس سم انوانٹیڈ سچویشن, when one hits your ego, when one provokes you, then you become angry. So prophet said that la taghzab, don't be angry, it means that don't be angry even when provoked. So the formula of life is that ignore provocation and try to live a positive life on a unilateral basis. Ignore provocation and live a life of ignore provocation and adopt positive behavior on unilateral basis. This is the formula. So what said that military general is the same. He says that most effective armed forces are those who fight without anger and hate. So said the Prophet of Islam that live without provocation, live without anger, live without malice. This is the successful formula of life. So the most important aspect of life is that you cannot escape provocations. You have to live among provocations. Provocations are part of nature. Provocations are part of nature. So when I presented this formula, one gentleman from the audience said that according to this formula, if we avoid provocation, then we will be patient of anger, because there are provocation, there are sad experiences, so it is but natural to become angry. But you say that don't show your anger. So it means that we will be patient of anger. I said that no. The capacity of mind is so enormous that you can manage your anger easily within minutes. I admit that anger is a part of nature, part of life. Anger is a part of life. But at the same time, you have a mind that has enormous capacity. Enormous capacity of management. Your mind has enormous capacity of management. So it is but natural that you become angry. But you have to utilize your mind. You have to manage that anger. So this formula is very natural formula. This formula is very natural formula that ignore provocations and adopt a positive behavior on the basis of unilateral ethics. There is no other formula. There is no feasibility of any other formula. This is the only practical formula. Then I said that this kind of attitude is a very, very powerful attitude. When you are not angry against your enemy, if you are fighting without anger, then you are very, very strong person. For example, the Prophet of Islam, if you read this, the life of the Prophet of Islam, you will find that he is a ideal example of this formula. He is an ideal example of this formula. You know, the Prophet of Islam was born in Mecca, but at that time, Meccan people were idol worshippers. Idol worshippers. And the message of the Prophet was based on Tawheed, that is oneness of God. So there was contradiction. There was great difference between the two parties. So they became hostile. So they turned hostile. And then what happened? They wanted to kill the Prophet of Islam. At such point, Prophet migrated from Mecca and settled in Medina. But his message was so powerful that every day people used to embrace Islam, even from Mecca. Although Prophet of Islam migrated from Mecca, but his message was there. His message was there. Personally, he left Mecca and settled Medina. But his message was there. His voice was there. Every day there was talk about the Prophet of Islam. Every day he was in the news. After living 13 years, after living 13 years in Mecca, when he left Mecca, it was not a simple migration. Up to 13 years, he was living as an active da'i, ایکٹیو پریچر، ایکٹیو میسنجر. ایوری ڈے اینڈ ایوری نائٹ ہی واز انگیجڈ ان ہز دعوا ورک. سو وین ہی مائگریٹڈ آفٹر 13 ایئرس it was not a simple migration. So after his migration, his voice was there, his message was there, his mission was there, his message was in their heart. Every day there was a talk about the Prophet of Islam. So under the voice of conscience, every day they were embracing Islam and leaving Makkah and settled Medina. So it was a process. Personally he left Makkah, but ideologically there was a process. Preaching as a person was not there, but as a process was there. Because 13 years were more than enough to start a process in Makkah. After 13 years of struggle, he started a process of dawa work in Makkah. So people accepted Islam in a large number. And what happened after some years? The companions increased every day. The number of companions increased, and it reached to 10,000 male members. 10,000 male members were with the Prophet. So he decided to march to Makkah. It was not simply a march. It was returned to their home. Makkah was their home. Under compulsion they left Makkah. But now they wanted to return to Makkah, their hometown. So 10,000 people marched under the leadership of the Prophet from Makkah to from Medina to Makkah. So this number at that time, because Makkah was simply a town, so at that time 10,000 was so great number that Meccan people said, today we have no power to resist, we have no power to fight. So they surrendered. They surrendered without fighting. This was the breaking of that policy. As I said earlier, I quoted that military general, that most effective armed forces are those who fight without anger and without hate. So Prophet was completely free of anger. Also his companions, they were completely free of anger and free of hate. So what happened? Their patience captured Makkah without any war, without any fighting. Patience is the most powerful quality. It was not arm, but their patience that captured Makkah. So this is the miracle of positive attitude. Then I said that the topic was basic human values in Islam. The topic over there was basic human values in Islam. I said that basic human values are not very different from other religions. I said that every religion has two parts, including Islam: theology and moral system or ethical system. So I said that as far as the theological system is concerned, so there are differences, very clear differences in theology. But as far as the moral system is concerned, there is no great difference between this religion and that religion. So I said that, but one thing which Islam adds is very important. Islam not only gives the moral values or ethical values, but Islam adds one very, very important thing, that is incentive, motivation. When Islam teaches that, O people, be truthful, be tolerant, be honest, and adopt love and compassion and all those moral values. When Islam preaches all these moral values, at the same time, he says that this is not simply a moral principles. Your success in the hereafter depends on this. If you adopted these moral principles, then you will be rewarded in paradise. Then you will be rewarded in the hereafter. Otherwise not. So I refer a verse in the Quran, from the Quran. There is a verse in the Quran that gives us the picture of paradise. It tells us that what is paradise, what is the environment of paradise, how people will live in the paradise. So this verse is in the chapter number 56, Al-Waqi'a. It says that لا تسبعون فيها لغب ولا تاسيما إلا قيلا سلاما سلاما لا تسبعون فيها لغب ولا تاسيما إلا قيلا سلاما سلاما. It means that in the paradise there is no nonsense, there is no mischief. In the paradise, there is no nonsense, no mischief. Only peace, only peace, only peace. Now what it means? Peace is not in a place. Place cannot give you peace. No place can give up peace. Peace is phenomena of human being, phenomena of human society. It is human being, it is man that gives you peace. No place can give up peace. No place can give you peace. No palace, no cottage, no farmhouse. Peace is fiber of peace is a phenomenon of human society. Peace is not a phenomenon of some building. So I said that this chronic verse tells us that what is the character of those people who will be allowed to live in paradise. What is their character? What is the character of those people who will find entry into paradise? Their character is that they will not create problem to their neighbors. They never talk rubbish. They never talk nonsense. Their heart is full of peace, tolerance, love, and justice for others. This kind of quality makes you a man of paradise. So it is character of paradise. So it means that if you want to find a place in paradise, you have to adopt this kind of character in this world. So thus Islam provides an incentive to the world system that if you want to find a place in paradise, you have to adopt this culture, this character, this behavior. So this is very important addition of Islam. Islam gives us the principles of ethics, principles of morality, but at the same time Islam provides this incentive of morality. So it is very important addition of Islam to the moral principles. So I have read Quran. I don't find that Quran gives details of all these things. Quran is relatively a small book. Quran gives us only the basics. Only the basics, not the details. Why? Because your incentive is, if there is incentive, then that is enough. I think that incentive is more important than the manuals or principles or laws. Incentive or motivation is more enough. Incentive or motivation are more important than the manuals, than the principles, than the laws. So Quran always tries to inculcate incentive. If you read Quran, you will find the practical details are not very much in the Quran. But those kind of teachings that inculcate incentive, you can find at every page. Every page of Quran gives those kind of incentive. Quran tries to inculcate that spirit. So Quran is, in this sense, I can say that Quran is a book of spirit rather than form. In this sense, I can say that Quran is a book of spirit rather than a book of form. Some details you can find in the hadith literature. But as far as the Quran is concerned, Quran gives us only the details. Only the details. So, according to my study, Islam tries to build a personality. Personality of paradise. The mind, Al-Quran tries to build its mind of realization, mind of a mind that fears God, a mind that is sincere, that is very, very cautious. Because if there is spirit, where there is spirit, there is action. Spirit is a guarantee that a guarantee to action. If there is spirit, there is action. It is impossible that if you inculcate spirit, then it is impossible that spirit will not translate into action. Spirit is bound to translate into action. So Quran always emphasizes the spirit rather than form. Form is a byproduct of spirit. Form is a byproduct of spirit. For example, there is a verse in the Quran about salat, about prayer. Inna salata tanha anil fahshaa wal munkar. It means that salat forbids you from evil character. It doesn't mean that salat automatically will refrain you. No. But if you inculcate in your mind the spirit of salat, then this spirit will help you to refrain yourself from all kind of evils. Only the form of salat cannot do this. If your salat is simply a form, a ritual, then it will not defend you from evils. The only salat that is full of spirit, that can refrain you from all kind of evil. سو ان اسلام آل دو دیر از اے فیسٹ گریٹ فیسٹ اسلام گیوز گریٹ امفیسس آن ایتھیکل ویلوز بٹ سمپلی سچ امفیسس از ناٹ انف. There must be an incentive. Without incentive, there is no use of such emphasis. So Islam makes the ethical principle one's own interest. For example, there is a hadith, من لم يشكر الناس لم يشكر الله. One who fails to acknowledge man, he will also fail to acknowledge God. It means that acknowledgement is a spirit. It's not lip service. Acknowledgement is not a lip service, but acknowledgement is a spirit. So if you have the spirit of acknowledgement, it is bound to manifest in both sides, man and God. So مَنْ لَمْ يَشْكُرِ النَّاسِ لَمْ يَشْكُرِ اللَّهِ. One who fails to acknowledge man, he will also fail to acknowledge God. It means that if someone has no spirit of acknowledgement, he will fail to acknowledge man and God both. If someone, some man or woman, have no spirit of acknowledgement in their heart, then they will fail to acknowledge man and God both. This is the meaning of this hadith. Now, in Islam, there are two terms used by scholars, Haqqullah and Haqqul Ibad, right of God and right of man. Haqqullah and Haqqul Ibad. All the teaching of Islam can be categorized in two categories. All the teachings of Islam can be divided into these two categories, Haqqullah and Haqqul Ibad. So Haqqullah means right of God, and Haqqul Ibad means right of man. Now, what is Haqqullah? Haqqullah means that you discover God, you realize God, you discover the existence of God, you try to live with God, you try to remember God always, day and night. You have to find God as your creator, as your sustainer, as the Lord of the Day of Judgment. So you have to discover God in these terms. So if you discover God as creator, as sustainer, and as the Lord of the Day of Judgment, then then it means that your personality will be revolutionized. It will create a revolution in your personality. This kind of belief is bound to create a revolution in your mind, in your heart, in your personality. There is the Haqqul Ibad. The Haqqul Ibad means to acknowledge God with your, whether full of mind, you are full of heart, and making God your supreme concern. This is Haqqul Ibad, Haqqullah. Haqqullah means you have to make God Almighty your supreme concern. You have to love God. You have to fear God. You have to make God your supreme concern. This is Haqqullah. And this is the result of discovery, result of realization. Then what is Haqqul Ibad? Haqqul Ibad means कैसा ये शोर हो रहा है, क्या किया जाए, कितने मिनट हो गया? Now what is Haqqul Ibad? Haqqul Ibad, that is right of man. So there is a verse in the Quran. This verse tells us the Haqqul Ibad in a very short verse. That is watawaso bisabre watawaso bil marham watawaso bisabre watawaso bil marham. It means that true believers, it gives us the ways of true believers, it gives us the character of true believers towards other people, and that is they keep patience. Watawasho is sabr. They keep patience and they show compassion towards other human being. So it's a 2-point formula. One, patience, and the second, compassion. Now the question is, what is the relationship between these two principles? Why patience is needed? Because the reason is that if you have no patience, you cannot keep compassion. You cannot follow the principle of compassion. If you have no patience, then it is impossible to follow the way of compassion. Why? Because in this world, every time there are sad experiences, every time there are negative experiences. So how you can, in such a situation, how you can follow the principle of compassion towards others? So only through patience. You have to be patient. So your formula, So the formula is that although others give you some sad experience, but you have to keep compassion towards others. Compassion without reward. Compassion without any return. This kind of compassion, for this kind of compassion, it is necessary to be patient. It requires unilateral ethics. It requires unilateral kind of compassion. You are living in thoughts. Our world is a world of thoughts. Every time we have experience of bushes, experience of thorns. So how one can live as a flower? Only through ignorance, through patience. You have to ignore the presence of thorn. You have to ignore the presence of bushes. Then it is possible to live as a flower. So moral behavior means living in your society like a flower. So you have to ignore all those thorns. Otherwise, you cannot follow this principle. So Quran says, وَتَوَاسَوْ بِالصَّبْرِ وَتَوَاسَوْ بِالْمَرْحَمَةِ. The believers are those who kept patience and followed the way of compassion. So patience is very much part of the compassion. Just like flower. Flower is a part of thorn. Where there is flower, there are thorn. Where there is thorn, there are flowers. So thorn is also an integral part of flower. So living as a flower means tolerating. Without tolerance, you cannot live as a flower. This is the formula of life. This is the art of life. So Quran says, وَتَوَاسَوْ بِالصَّبْرِ وَتَوَاسَوْ بِالْبَرْحَمَ. True believers are those who keep patience, who forgive people, who tolerate people, who ignore all those nuisance. Who live like a flower. So without this kind of patience, you cannot follow the principles of Islamic ethics. This is mentioned in the Quran, وَتَوَاسَوْ بِالصَّبْرِ وَتَوَاسَوْ بِالْمَرْحَمِ. So both are integral part to each other. Without patience, there is no compassion. Because if you have no patience, then you are angry. Then you will become angry. So those people who are living in anger, they cannot do anything good. towards other human being. So it is very important to know that patience is the basis to all kind of virtues. Patience is the basis of all kind of virtues, all kind of moral behavior. In Islam, there is Islam gives very, very importance to patience. In Hadith, in Quran, both. You will find so many verses and so many Hadith that gives you the importance of patience. Watawaso bisabre, watawaso bil marham. So this is the Islamic concept of morality. This is the Islamic concept of ethics. It is based on unilateral principles. It is based on unilateral principles. Once the Prophet of Islam said to one of his companions, "Do you want to find entry into paradise?" He said, "Yes." The Prophet of Islam said, "You have to live without malice among people. لا تجد في قلبك غش لأحد. Live among people without having any kind of malice. So how it is possible? How it is possible? Because everywhere there are differences. Everywhere there are problems. Everywhere there are things against your interest. Everywhere there are such situations that creates problem for you. So everywhere there are everywhere there are things that are quite against you. So what to do? The only possible option is to be patient. If you are not ready to keep patience, then you cannot keep the way of Islamic principles. All the Islamic principles are based on unilateralism. Unilateralism. Islamic ethics is unilateral ethics, not bilateral ethics. According to Islam, bilateral ethics is not possible. Only unilateral ethics are possible. So we have to know this very important point. We have to know this very important point. You know, the first verse of the Quran is Alhamdulillah. First verse, the very first verse, Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah means Hamd means shukr. Shukr. So you say, O God, shukr for you, hamd for you, thanksgiving for you. So how it is possible? How you can say Alhamdulillah if your mind is full of negative thoughts? Alhamdulillah is the gist of the Quran. You know, Alhamdulillah is the first verse of the Quran. And Alhamdulillah is the gist of the Quran. So, you have to say Alhamdulillah every time in your prayer and also out of the prayers, you have to Alhamdulillah. That is, O God, shukr for you, thanksgiving for you. But how you can say this word? If you are living in anger, if you are living in malice, if you are living in negative thoughts, how you can say Alhamdulillah? So if you are living in negative spirit, then your Alhamdulillah is nothing but lip service. If you are living in hate, if you are living in intolerance, if you are living in enmity, if you are living in negativity, and you say Alhamdulillah, this Alhamdulillah is nothing but lip service. God will not provide any kind of reward for this kind of Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, the true Alhamdulillah, the true Alhamdulillah is one which is full of spirit of Alhamdulillah, full of spirit of shukr. If your heart is if the spirit of shukr is not here in your heart, then how you can say Alhamdulillah? So first of all, you have to inculcate the spirit of true shukr. There is thanksgiving. So first of all, you have to inculcate the true spirit of shukr, then you can say genuinely Alhamdulillah, and that will be rewardable. So it is very important to know that Alhamdulillah is not simply a lip service. Alhamdulillah is a manifestation of spirit. Alhamdulillah is a manifestation of inner spirit. Alhamdulillah is a manifestation of inner spirit. When Alhamdulillah is in your heart, then your Alhamdulillah is true Alhamdulillah, otherwise not. So Alhamdulillah is the most important requirement of Islam. It is the first verse of the Quran. It is the gist of the Quran. It is a very rewardable kalima. But you have to live free of hate, You have to live free of negativity. You have to live with positive thoughts. Then you can say Alhamdulillah. So true Alhamdulillah is that which is in letter and spirit both. أقول قولي هذا فاستغفر الله لي ولكم أجمعين.